in our series on the parables of the kingdom. And it's been a tremendous series. Today what we're going to do is we're going to look at two parables of the kingdom and one lesson. They have similar messages, and I think that we can incorporate the two together. And I think this is how these two should be taught. So I want to read them to you initially to start with. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Then the next one, Jesus went right into the next parable. Please cut these monitors down. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he had found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. There you go. Okay, that's better. Are we still? Okay. Now, let me remind you of what's happening here. Jesus is in a little boat. He's just pushed offshore a little ways. The disciples are probably sitting there holding, securing the boat so it won't spin around. The multitude is on the shore. Jesus is sitting in the boat talking and teaching the multitude of people. He's telling them riddles or parables. They're riddles because he's not explaining them. He's telling them about the kingdom of God, but he's not associating it. He's telling them about dirt. He's telling them about seed. He's telling them about weeds. He's telling them about wheat. He's telling them about mustard seed. He's telling them these things, and they're all very familiar with all of these items, but he's not associating it. He's not hooking it up with how the kingdom works. He's telling them this is the kingdom, but he's making no sense. They're scratching their head. They said, if we come out and set in the sun for this. He's not making any sense to him. He's done with his teaching. He says, thank you for coming. He dismisses the crowd. See you next week. And he goes back to the house. In the house, his disciples come, and they come and they say, what was all that about? What did you mean? What are you talking here about? And he says, for you, it's given to understand the message about the kingdom. But to them, it's not given. They're not supposed to get it. You're supposed to get it. And he explained it all to them, saying this, that if you have eyes to see, you can see the kingdom. If you have ears to hear, you can hear about the kingdom. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, and that we can grasp the kingdom. So, in this kingdom parables today that we're going to be looking at, he's talking about a pearl of great price. He's talking about a treasure that's hidden in the field. And the essence of the parables, these parables, is the incomparable price, the incomparable value of the kingdom of God. There is nothing you can compare the value of the kingdom of God to. Nothing. And when we're talking about the kingdom, we're not talking about eschatology. A lot of people confuse that with, you know, you're talking about the kingdom, so you're talking about eschatology. No, we're talking about the true gospel, the real good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're really talking about here. We're not talking about some fictitious thing. We're talking about what Jesus talked about. The real kingdom, the real truth, the real gospel. It's the truth about it. You don't have to fear some cataclysmic experience happening, some great tribulation. You don't have to fear things getting so bad that God's got to rapture you out of here. I'm talking about something that's real. Jesus talked about a kingdom that would expand and cover this whole world, that would grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. That's the gospel. That's what he taught. Right? All right, now. So, in this, what I'm talking about is the value of this. How valuable is the blood of Jesus Christ? You can't compare that with anything else. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can wash your stained heart from sin. The only thing that can forgive you of sin. The blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer is not going to do it. It's going to require the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to forgive you from the sin, but not only forgive you of the sin, but relieve you from the grief and the guilt of that sin. It's the only thing that will clean a foul heart. The foulest of heart can be cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. The most defiled person can be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. How valuable is that? And why is that so valuable? Why do I need that? Well, here is why. Because God can't tolerate sin. The Bible talks about if anybody were to see God and have sin in their life and stand in His face, then that person's going to fall dead. He can't tolerate sin. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, He can't only tolerate us. He loves us. He wants us there. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have a real, true relationship with God. It's only by the blood you can talk to God, really talk to God, and walk with God and have a communication with God. It's only through the blood of Jesus. How valuable is that? Nothing else. It's incomparable. That's the message that Jesus preached. How valuable is the Spirit of God? What can you compare that to? The Spirit of God living within the believer, living inside, giving us the power of God, the wisdom of God. That's what the Spirit does. The guidance, the favor of God in our lives to go through life making right decisions, doing right things. How valuable is that? It's incomparable. What can you compare that to? Nothing else will do that for you. This is the gospel that Jesus preached and taught. How valuable is the peace of God? It's only in the kingdom that you have the peace that passes understanding. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's only in the kingdom you get to experience. How valuable is peace when you're facing the storms of life like this man is facing right here? Where do you get peace in that? Only in God. Only in God. How do you get hope in a situation like that? How valuable is it to know that when I pass, that when I open my eyes again, I'm going to be looking at the face of God, the face of Jesus Christ, and not at the face of the devil burning in hell. How valuable is that? How valuable is it to spend eternity with God, not spend eternity in hell? How valuable is the kingdom? And to have Christ, you've got to have the kingdom. He is the treasure in the field. He is the pearl in the oyster. You gotta have Him. And so this is what Jesus is talking about in these parables. The incomparable value of the kingdom of God. Now, we've talked about the kingdom, we're learning about the kingdom, but how do we acquire the kingdom? Do we acquire it like the old covenant people did because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because we genetically connected with them? Is that how we acquire it? Is that how it happens in the new covenant, this age of the kingdom? Is that how it happens? Do we acquire it by coming to church? By simply coming to church, do you acquire the kingdom? Do you acquire the kingdom by raising your hand at the end of the service and saying, yeah, I agree with you? Is that how you... Do you acquire the kingdom by saying a prayer? Do you acquire the kingdom by coming down here and crying and saying that's repenting? Is that how you acquire this kingdom? How do you acquire the kingdom? That's what these parables are about. How do you know if you've acquired the kingdom? I'm going to answer that for you today. Jesus is. So let me get started. Let's look at that first parable, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is what? Is going to be like or is like? It is like. If you have eyes to see, you can see it. If you have ears to hear, you can hear about the kingdom. It is like treasure hidden in a field. Those are connected. Treasure and the field, they're connected. Treasure hidden in a field. When a man did what? Found it. There's your first key. You find the kingdom. You find it. A man found it, and he hid it again. Now, that's an interesting thought. Didn't say he put it back in the same hole. Said he just hid it again. Hid it again, and then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, this scenario is a little bit foreign to us. We don't understand that. Because what we mostly do today, if we have a little extra money, we take it to the bank, we put it in a savings account, or we invest it in stocks and bonds, or maybe we buy some real estate and we invest in real estate. We're not real familiar with going out, digging a hole, and putting our treasure and our valuables and our money in that. But that's not the case in their day. Jesus even told a parable about that, that this guy took money and dug a hole. I'll read the scripture in just a second. In their time, in their lives, their land was filled with wars. The land was filled with plundering raiders. The land was filled with violence, and what people would do is they'd come into a home and they'd tear the home apart looking for money, looking for the valuables. And so instead of doing that, what people would do is take their money, their valuables out into a field, a place that they only were aware of, and they would dig a hole and they would bury it. And they would keep it that way. So this is what Jesus is talking about. He told the parable about this in Matthew. He's talking again about the kingdom, but he talks about this particular person in Matthew 25:18. It says, "But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." So hiding money in the ground was a common experience. These people that Jesus was teaching understood this principle. They were very aware of it, just like everything else that he was talking to them about. So Jesus tells this parable about this person who's going through life. He's maybe plowing the field. He's plowing his field for sure. He's going through life and he's maybe walking through the field, whatever. But he actually kind of stumbles upon this treasure. He finds it and he sees what it is. And so what he does is he says, "Wow, this is pretty good. I'm going to hide it again." And then he goes off with a lot of joy and a lot of excitement, and he went and he liquidated everything he had. He sold out for this thing. He liquidated everything he could possibly do, and he brought it and he bought the field with the treasure in it. Now, in those days, there was a law, a Roman law, because it said this, that if somebody were to have something like this to happen to them, then that treasure would actually have been the person who found it if it did not belong to the owner of the field. And obviously it didn't, because if it had belonged to the owner of the field, he wouldn't have sold it, or he would have removed the treasure before selling it. So obviously it wasn't the owner's of the field. So this guy, instead of just stealing it and taking it, he hides it again. And then he goes, liquidates all of his assets, and he comes back and he buys, he sells out, he gets this field. He purchases this field that has this treasure in it. And see, he sees is that it's totally... anything he owns is incomparable to the value of this field with this treasure. Anything that he would ever have is incomparable to this. And so I'm going to sell out so I can have this. I'm going to change my whole lifestyle. I'm going to change everything. I'm selling out totally so that I can have this field. And that's what he does. He changes everything and buys that field with a treasure hidden in it. So that's the first parable. The second parable is this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through both parables, and then we'll look at six particular points that I really think that all of us should see, and I think the Lord would have us to see. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is what? Is like a merchant looking for. Now there's the difference. The first guy kind of stumbles upon this. He just kind of accidentally finds it. But this guy is actually looking for fine pearls. And when he found one, he found it. He's looking. He found it. That's the key to the kingdom of acquiring it, is you got to find it. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. Now, this person's in the pearl business. He goes around making his living, finding pearls and selling pearls. And in that day, the pearl was the best of all gems. If it's a gem. Anyway, it was the most wanted, most desired. All the Egyptians worshipped pearls. The emperors of Rome decored themselves with pearls and then put them on his wife and his children. And it was a real statement, a status symbol. It was a statement of a fortune, of a worth and of value and of riches. And so pearls were extremely status quo. I mean, you know, that was the best a person could have. And Jesus, speaking about pearls in Matthew 7:6, says this: "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." What Jesus is really talking about here is don't give to pigs, to people who don't understand the value of something. Don't cast it before them. Don't. If they don't understand the value of it, just don't even fool around there. And interestingly, the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem are pearls. You've heard about the pearly gates, right? In Revelation chapter 21 and 22 talk about this. I nearly went off here, but I restrained myself and stayed on topic. But that talks about the gates of pearls. To get in, you got to understand this pearl thing. And you got to understand that the New Jerusalem isn't some thing that's coming down out of heaven, some planet. It is the church. It is the Lamb's wife. He says, let me show you the Lamb's wife. And he took him and he showed him the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. I can't go there, Terry. I got to stay. And he shows him the pearl, the gates of pearl. See, you to get into, and that what it is the Lamb's wife, the church. So to really get into the church, you've got to get through this pearl thing. And so what we're talking about today is extremely important. And so Jesus talked about that. The Bible talks about the pearls. And people would, you've heard about the extreme measures that people would go to acquire pearls. You've seen movies probably where they would take these little boats out and over the beds, the oyster beds and pearls, and they would get over there and they would tie weights to themselves and jump out of the boat with these weights to get them down fast enough and far enough so they could go and get as many oysters as they possibly could before they drowned and get back to the surface before they died. So it not only speaks of the amount of money a pearl is worth and the status quo that a pearl is worth, but also the trouble or what was required to acquire the pearl. So the pearl is of great price. The pearl is of great price. So what this person did is that he was in the pearl business. He knew about pearls. He studied pearls. He knew about pearls, and he was looking for the pearl. And he went about looking. He finally found one. And he says, I got to have it. And he does what the other guy does. He goes and he liquidates his everything out. He sells out for this thing. He totally changes his whole lifestyle so he can acquire this pearl. And he gets this pearl. And he has it. He sold out for it. So those are the two parables. And kind of give you some understanding about it. Now I want to draw six principles, six thoughts from these parables that I think God would have us to do. And he's going to challenge you desperately as we go through them. The first thing I want us to see, I've already talked about it, I want to reiterate it, it's the kingdom is incomparable in value. That's number one. The kingdom is incomparable in value. Both the parables teach of the incomparable value of the kingdom of God. The treasure, of course, is Christ Jesus. The field is the kingdom. Inside of the New Jerusalem we were speaking about a while ago, the heavenly Jerusalem that we were speaking about where the gates of pearls in the center of the city is the Lamb in the center of it. In the center of the field is the Christ. You got to have the kingdom. You got to get in the kingdom to get to the Christ. And that's where the treasure is. He's in that field. And the oyster that holds the pearl, he's hidden in the oyster. He's hidden in the possession of someone, but it's hidden. And the person goes and doesn't care about how much it costs. He goes and he wants to possess it, and he sells out for it to find the most precious thing that he could possibly have in life. It was more valuable than anything he owned. It was more valuable than anything that it would cost, but he wanted this, and he went all out to buy it and to get it and acquire it, and he did. Only a fool is not willing to sell everything to gain the most valuable thing that you could ever have. But hear me. The only way a person can gain it is by selling out. The only way you'll ever have the treasure, the only way you'll ever have the pearl, is by selling out. There's only one way, only one thing worth risking everything for. And I did it. I did it in 85, 86, and 87. I totally sold out. I sold everything I had. I liquidated everything. I sold my house. I sold my boat. I sold my guns. I sold everything. I gave it all to the kingdom. It was used to refurbish this building, to minister to people. Sold out. Have you? How many people have? Jesus said, few. Few. Have you? So the first thought is the incomparable value. Have you found it? Then if you found it, you're a fool. Not to get it, but to get it you've got to sell out. Number two, the kingdom is not easily visible. It's not easily visible. They're not laying around on the ground. The treasure wasn't laying on top of the ground. They had to dig for it. The pearl wasn't laying on top of the ground. They had to dive for it or find it. And people outside of the kingdom don't understand why somebody's that radical. The lost don't understand why somebody sells out that way. Why do you do that? Why do you go to church? Why do you sell out? Why do you do that? They don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to them. A lot of religious people don't understand it. They don't understand the radicalness of it. Religious people ask, well, why do I have to do that? I go to church. Isn't that enough? Why do I have to sell out? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. They don't understand. Why? Why? Why have I got to do that? And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So if you don't understand, you got to understand why you don't understand. The Spirit hasn't shown you. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel or of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So if you can't see this, you've got to ask why. The answer is, the God of this world has blinded your eyes. You can't see the kingdom. You can't hear about the kingdom. The kingdom makes no sense to most people. They can't see it. They can't hear it. But every week you come in here, I've dug deep and I have you a treasure to show you. Every week I've dove deep and I have the pearl to show you. And every week people raise their hands, but they walk out of here not selling out, not getting the kingdom. They go out of here without it. And it's the most precious thing they could ever have. It's the most incomparable valued thing that you could ever find. Jesus says this in Matthew 7:14, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few sell out. Only a few find it. Only a few will sell out to acquire it. Only a few find it. Have you found it? Have you? See, there must be a desire to hunt it. There must be a desire to find it. And then once it's found, there must be a desire to acquire it. So that was number two. It's not easily visible. But number three says this, the kingdom is personally appropriated. Personally appropriated. I can't appropriate it for you. You can't appropriate it for me. You can't appropriate it for your children, though you wished you could. It's personally appropriated. Each one of these people found the treasure or they found the pearl and they personally appropriated it for themselves. Because a person goes to church does not mean that person's in the kingdom. Unless you found it and appropriated it. Because a person's prayed a prayer does not mean they're in the kingdom. Jesus reiterated this with the legalistic religious leaders of his day. And legalism is the enemy of the kingdom. But he reiterated that. He says, because you guys think you're the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you're in the kingdom. I've got news for you. You're not. Says this, Jesus speaking to those people, says this in Matthew 8:11, says this, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the kingdom of heaven. Where are they going to sit? In heaven or where? In the kingdom of heaven. But, conjunction, hook this up with what I just said. But, the children, this scripture used to drive me nuts. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, the Jews thought they were in the kingdom because they were the children of the kingdom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in reality, they were only tares. And on harvest day, they were bundled and thrown into the fires of hell. Because mom and dad go to church doesn't make you safe, child. Because mom and dad are Christians doesn't make you one. You got to appropriate it yourself. You got to find it. Then you got to appropriate it. You got to acquire it. Have you? Have you? It's hidden. Have you found it? That was number three. Number four is this. The kingdom is the source of joy. I want to read you the parable again of the treasure in the field. Matthew 13:44 says this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his what? In his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. In other words, it wasn't grudgingly. It wasn't under compulsion that he sold out. It wasn't under compulsion and grudgingly that he gave. It wasn't under compulsion that he praised. It wasn't under compulsion that he attended. It wasn't under compulsion that he ministered. It wasn't under compulsion that he read or prayed. It wasn't under compulsion or grudgingly. He did it with joy. How do you do it? See, joy is one of the primary needs of every human being. Every human being wants to be happy. We want joy. But you will never be happy until you find the treasure. Until you get in the kingdom. That's the only place you're going to have full joy. Let me read you this. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God, the what? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The only place you're going to find joy is in God, the Holy Ghost. Having Him in your life, bringing you peace that passes understanding and a happiness and joy. How are you? Are you happy? How's life for you? If it's not good, I really encourage you to look to see if you're in the kingdom. Number four, it's the source of joy. Number five is this. The kingdom is entered from different circumstances. In the parables, one found the treasure a different way than the person found the pearl. The person that found the treasure just sort of stumbled upon it. Maybe he was plowing the field or just going through life, going through his life, doing whatever that he did. And somehow he sort of accidentally, it's seemingly accidentally, it's nothing's accidental with God, but seemingly accidentally, he finds this treasure. And so he acquires it. A lot of people find the kingdom like that. A lot of you did. You just kind of accidentally stumbled in here. You know? Maybe it was Easter. Somebody said, Easter, let's go to church. You stumbled in here. You met God. You found the pearl. You found the treasure. So, you know, somebody's bugging you. Let's go to church. Go to church with me Sunday. Finally you do, and you stumble in here. Next thing you know, God's moving on your heart and your life, and you're raising your hand, and you go out of here having found the treasure. A lot of people in the Scriptures were that way. The Apostle Paul was that way. The Apostle Paul just kind of stumbled. He thought he was in the kingdom, but found out he wasn't. He was just doing his life, arresting Christians, being a Pharisee, doing what Pharisees do, persecuting Christians, real Christians. And he stumbles across the Christ. A light, bright light just appears to him, knocks him down. There he is. Finds the kingdom, finds the treasure. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, same way. She's just there doing her life, going to get a little water. She finds the treasure there. Stumbles upon it. Goes away redeemed, goes away happy, rejoicing. Goes and wins the whole city. People just stumble into this thing. It's like that guy that's begging, you know, asking for alms, just doing what he does. And here comes Jesus and his disciples say, why is this guy blind? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? Why is he blind? Jesus says, you don't get it, do you? He's blind so God can show off. Whatever you're going through is so God can show off. He's blind so God can show off, so the glory of God can be seen. And so what does Jesus do? He takes dirt and spits in it and rubs it on this guy's eyes. And this guy gets healed. He goes away redeemed and rejoicing because he just stumbled upon the kingdom. Some of you stumbled upon it. Come in here. There it is. Whoa. Others of us found it a different way. We're searching for it. We're studying it out. We're looking for truth. That was me. In my life, when I came into the kingdom of God, I wasn't really going through any devastating situations in my life. If you looked at my life, it looked really good. I made a lot of money, had a good wife, had great kids, home, everything looking really good. But man, there was something empty in my heart, in my life, and I wanted answers. I wanted answers. Before I ever started going to church, I was reading the Bible. I'd go to sleep reading the Bible. Want answers. I was like the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, I was riding in my chariot. Everything's going pretty good. Just riding in my chariot. And here comes Philip. Hey, you understand what you're reading? No, I really don't. Come up here and help me. Help me understand this a little bit. Show me what does this mean? I was looking for answers. I would ask people, what does this mean? And they didn't know. I mean, people that should know, Christians, people said they were Christians, should know. They didn't know. It wasn't very long of me reading. I knew more than they knew, and I wasn't even a Christian yet. And so I'm asking people. They didn't know. So I start inviting. We're going to church. We started going to church. I still hadn't made a commitment to God yet. I invite the pastor and his wife to come over to the house. Eat supper with us. I've got some questions. We go off with them. We go to their house. I wanted answers. I was like Cornelius, you know. Cornelius, the angel appears to him, says, hey, tell Peter to come down here and help you understand this Holy Ghost thing. So, come on, Peter, help me a little bit here. Give me some answers. That's how we go through life, you see. I was like the Bereans who searched out these things daily to see if they'd be so. And so some of us are like that guy finding that pearl. We're looking for it. We've been studying it. We want the truth. We want to find out. We want to find that one pearl. And so we search for it, and we finally found it. And so we'll sell out for it. You came into the kingdom one way or the other. Either you stumbled in here. You stumbled into the kingdom, or you diligently were seeking for it. Which were you? Better question. Which are you? Did you just stumble in here today? Are you really looking for the pearl? Are you really searching for the treasure? That was number 5, right? Number 6. And this is the one I want burned in our minds when we go out of here today. The kingdom is made personal by a transaction. I want to say this and I'll explain it. I'll let the shock value. You've got to buy the kingdom. I'll explain. You're not going to buy your salvation. You can't do that. In fact, there was this one day, this guy came, this rich guy, he's called the rich young ruler. He comes up to Jesus and he says, what have I got to do to be saved? How much will it cost me? And Jesus said, well, you know what the scriptures say. He says, you know, you got to love God first. You can't have any idols before him. You can't do that. You got to keep the Sabbath. You can't commit adultery. You got to do these things. And he says, oh, man, I've done all that since I was a little kid. I even obeyed my parents. Honor them. Jesus says, yeah, but there's one thing. There's one thing.
Together, we can change the world.
Yes,
together we can
change. Speak to you, man. 19:21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, if you really want it all, if you really want this, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have what? You'll have what? You'll have treasures in heaven or in the kingdom of heaven. Then, after you've sold out. See, it's not going to work until you sell out. Then, come follow me. You really can't follow Jesus until then. So, the man, like most people, refused. And he went away sad. So Jesus turns to his guys, his disciples, and here's what he says to them. Matthew 19:23, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. Now, what is he saying? Verily? Is that what he's kind of saying here? I tell you the truth. It is hard, it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not heaven, the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hard. It's difficult. It's difficult for any of us to sell out. It's hard. Again, I tell you, he says, I'm going to repeat this so you'll get it. I'm going to give you an illusion. I'm going to give you an example to see how hard, how difficult it is to sell out. He says, again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's how hard it is to sell out. But there's always a personal transaction. Every single one of us has one. Every single one of us is required one. Yours isn't the same as mine. Mine's not the same as yours. Whatever you're putting above the kingdom and before the kingdom is maybe not the same thing I put above and before the kingdom. But we all put something above and before the kingdom until we sell it out. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 9. He says in Luke 9:57, he says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you. Oh, Lord, I'll do it. I'll follow you anywhere. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus knew his heart, knew his problems, and knew what was before. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man is homeless. The who? The Son of Man, the ruler of the universe, the Son of Man, is homeless. He has no place to lay his head. Isn't it interesting to think that the Lord of glory, what's Jesus really saying here? Isn't it interesting to know that our Lord, our Savior, is homeless? He's a homeless man. What's Jesus saying here? The Son of Man has sold out. The Son of Man, there's nothing holding me back. Jesus knew that guy. He knew his heart. This guy was hooked up with his home. He's hooked up with his stuff. Hooked up with his comforts. Jesus says, it won't work. You can't follow me like that. You haven't sold out. No deal. No transaction. So another guy comes. And Jesus has got him lined up here. Another guy comes. Luke 9:59. And Jesus actually asked this guy to follow him. 9:59 says this. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first. What did he say? First. Let me go and bury my father. Now, I always struggled with this verse. I mean, it just seems like there was no compassion from God. And I know God's a very compassionate, so I knew I wasn't right. But until I got a handle on the kingdom, I didn't understand this. He says, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim what? Preach heaven? Preach. What are we supposed to preach and proclaim? The kingdom of God. He says, you go and proclaim this. See, this guy is hung up. He's hung up with an inheritance. And what's interesting is his father hasn't died yet. He wants to hang around and wait on his inheritance. And if you're following God depends on what you get from somebody else or from any place else, then no transaction, no deal. So another guy comes along. Next verse, in that same chapter, still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but what? First, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now again, I'm wondering, used to wonder about this. How does this work, Lord? Family is very important. But it can't be first. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus gives this strange scenario. He says, no. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in what? In the kingdom of God. You can't plow straight if you're looking at family. Okay. How many stay home because the spouse is sick? You don't come to church on Sunday because the spouse is sick. And there's two of you, but the kids are sick, so everybody stays home. One kid's sick, everybody stays home. How many stay out of church because it's snowing? And we don't want to get our family out. Jesus says, you can't plow straight if you're having to deal with family. Family can't be first. And you know how important I think family is. But it can't be first. If so, no deal. No transaction. This is what's the way it's got to be. Matthew 6:33. But seek what? First what? The kingdom and His righteousness. Seek the kingdom and do it God's way. Seek it God's way. Seek it first. And all these things that you think you're having to give up, all these possessions and houses and all this inheritance and all this family time, and you got all this, you think it's so important, but if you'll do it right, I'll make sure you get it. All these things will be given to you as well. Point, nothing can come before the kingdom. If it does, you haven't sold out. So the kingdom of heaven is of incomparable value. And you can think you're gaining all this stuff, inheritance and family, and you can think you're gaining all this stuff, you're gaining money and houses, and you think you're gaining all this stuff, but actually you're losing your own soul. See, it must be sought first. It requires a selling out. Not that you won't have, but that you will have. You take up your own cross and follow Him. You got to sell out. And you're here today. You either stumbled in here or you've been seeking the pearl. But you're here today, and one way or the other, you're looking for truth, or either you just kind of stumbled in. I don't think finding it is the problem. I think you all know who the kingdom is, or where the kingdom is, and what the treasure is and what the pearl is. I think we all are aware of that. We've found it. That's not the question. We all know that. Here's the question. Here's the challenge. Have you sold out? Is it first? See, and being as honest as it could be without being mean, but being pastoral, and not trying to condemn or convict or anything, because you've got to do this with joy. But if it's not, folk, you're a tare growing with the wheat. And there's a harvest day coming, and you're going to be bundled with other tares and be thrown into hell. That's what Jesus said. It's not a prayer that gets you into the kingdom. It's not coming to church that gets you into the kingdom. It's not because mom and dad are Christians. It's have you sold out for the kingdom? Jesus is asking each of us today, as He asked that rich young ruler, one thing you lack. One thing. Go sell out. Let's pray. Father, Your word is in Your face, isn't it? And so, Lord, I ask You today that we've just not talked and go out of here with some interesting lesson. That we go out of here with a pearl. That we go out of here with a treasure in the field. That we go out of here, Lord God, different than we came in. So, Lord God, as we all know, no one here is questioning what the treasure is, who it is, or what the pearl is, or who the pearl is. We know who it is. We know where it is. The question today is, will we appropriate it? Will we acquire it? So, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, how many of you, like me, say, I could do better at this? There's times that I think I've sold out, and I look around and something seems to be more important. There are times that I think I've got it down pat, but I look around and something's moved into first place in my life. And you, like me, need the power of the Holy Spirit to convict you and to help you to keep things in proper order so that I can have the joy to do what I'm supposed to do in the kingdom, that I can live my life the way I can live it, and that I can have all those things that I think I'm giving up. God will make sure I get them. So if that's you, and along with me, you say, you know what, Lord, I need your help. I know who the kingdom is. I know where it is. I know who the pearl is. I know who the treasure is. I know all about this. That's not my challenge. My challenge is, will I sell out for it? And if you, like me, would say, I need to do a little better here. I need to do better. And I need God by His Spirit to help me. And I need people to pray for me. So if that's you, would you, along with me, raise your hand and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I see hands. I think that's most of us. Father, you see our hands. And Lord, we're serious. We don't want to go to hell. We want to experience the kingdom. We want the blood of Jesus Christ that makes a way so that we can have a relationship with God Almighty. We want the Spirit of God in our lives. We want the peace that passes understanding. We want the kingdom. We want it. And so, Lord, I ask you now to give us the power to appropriate it, the will, the desire. We found it. Now, Lord, what we've got to do with the rest of our lives is sell out to it. So, Lord, help us do it. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed. Now, some of you stumbled in here today and you know you're not where you need to be with God. You're just not there. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have, but you've slipped back. You've slipped away. You know you're not where you need to be with God. There's no peace in your life. There's no joy in your life. Things are going crazy and haywire. Stress of life, blood pressure's up, going insane, stuff going crazy. You don't understand the radicalness of this thing, but you want to. You want to have the peace that passes understanding, and you want the kingdom. You want Jesus Christ in your life. The only way to have it is to invite Him in. Now listen, this prayer won't make it happen. This prayer will help you make it happen. It's up to you to sell out for it. You're a fool if you don't. And the only way you can have it is to sell out for it. So if that's you, and you just know you're not where you need to be with God today, I encourage you, avoid hell. Experience the kingdom where there's righteousness and peace and joy. So if that's you, you're just not where you need to be with God, you've gotten distant from Him, and you know you have, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. So if that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you? I see hands. I see hands. 3, 4. Bunch of hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. Father, I pray for these. Lord,